back up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure,
at least in his mind,
Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Happy New Year. Happy first day of 2019. I can't believe that, man. Wow. Funny part is, if you told me in 2019 I'd be on a microphone when I was 21 years old, and I'd still be talking on a microphone, to the college radio or whatever, I wouldn't believe you. I also wouldn't believe if you told me I was doing that and still cooking food, but I'm still doing it. Well, doing it a lot. Doing it in a good way, too, I think. I hope so. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Welcome in the new year with a brand new show tonight. Hope you guys all had a great New Year's Eve. I had a fantastic New Year's Eve. It was a lot of fun. I did absolutely nothing, and I loved every single second of it, man. It was amazing. Tonight, our good friend and co-host, the one and only Chef Dave, is not around tonight. He is working. As a matter of fact, he just texted me. He had an 8-top, a 3-top, and a 6-top walk-in 2 minutes to close. He's a very happy fellow right now. But instead, I got a good brother with me tonight, man. The one and only Chef Dan Monroe, the one and only the Green Beret, the Marine, the Navy SEAL, and what do the Air Force have, Dan?
I don't think the Air Force has a damn thing. They rely on us for all that. They got planes.
Army Ranger, you got it all right
there.
Yeah,
Army Ranger. They got planes.
They got planes.
They're good. They don't need any of that. They just drop bombs.
Dude, a plane would be awesome, though. I think we should get a plane.
We need a plane, like a personal plane to drive around and just do shit.
Dude, after we did the Navy, after that Navy event, I kind of want a plane. I want a submarine. Yep. I want a
chopper.
A chopper would be dope.
They make them right down the street from my house.
Yep. I, you know what else I need? I want one of them vans that we rode in the whole time.
Oh, well, my van needs to have be all black with a red stripe going across the middle of it, and BA needs to be driving it.
Oh, nice reference. A-team reference. Nice. Nicely done there. Dude, thank you for sitting in tonight, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure, you know? Anytime we get to have a conversation, it's a good day.
See, you're such a nice guy, too. That's the thing. You see pictures of you, you're not a very happy-looking fella. You're very thug-like. You look like you're a problem. I'm pretty sure every time I see you, I'm like, I think he stole something from somebody. But then I talk to you in person, and like, yeah, I just want to give you a hug. You know, we have a great time. We have great conversations. We get along really well. I just don't understand it, man. What is this facade you have?
I don't know. I've worked on being better. We're being nicer to people. You know, it's just a life. Sometimes you deal with a lot of people being negative towards you, and you take on that negative persona. And I've just kind of taken my own time to kind of work through it and actually start to be nicer, because it always makes you feel better to be nicer. And, you know, being mean all the time doesn't help you any. It just makes you an angrier person.
Now, but what it is, you got them daughters, though, so you got to look a little aggressive. You have to have a tough exterior, right?
Oh, you have. Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, anytime there's a boy mentioned, you know, I got to puff my chest out, you know, walk out with the chef knife, ask them what's going on, how's it going, you know, how they like their meat filleted, you know, just put it down for them.
Hey, you know, I want to do that scene from when my girls start going on dates. I want to have you come over, and I want to do that scene from Bad Boys, the first one. Yo, when he answers the
door.
We've
done it. I've done it.
Have you really?
I've done it. Swear, done it with my boy, with my brother. He yelled out the door, "You ever been with a man? You wanna?" my daughter brought her boyfriend over like 2 weeks ago. They got in the car. She's like, "I'm sorry, you had to go through that." She's like,
but like, your wife is a sweetheart too. Like, I know her. Like, I've hung out with her. She's a sweetheart. She's beautiful. She's an amazing person. But I got a feeling like she would be a partner in crime that whole thing with you. Like, she wouldn't be nice as Martin Lawrence's wife was.
Oh no, they are terrified of her. They're terrified. They know better. There's never been a situation where anyone has ever remotely come out their mouth when she's around. She's like, she just looks at them and they bundle up real quick.
Right?
Yeah, it's serious.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, I want to take a couple minutes here before we get moving on the show. And tonight, we got an awesome show, man. It's all about beer. And
yes, beer.
And you're a beer fan. I know how much you dig it.
No, I love beer. I'm all about beer, especially now. It's like an uprising. There's so much good beer out there.
It is. Well, here's the thing, man. When you and I were on the phone a minute ago before we got the show started, I told you how much I couldn't stand you because, Like, for those of you who haven't seen Dan, you should check him out on Instagram at One Chef Above All. Is that right on Instagram?
No, Chef One Above All.
Chef One.
It's
above
a reference
all.
To the Marvel character, Chef One Above All.
I got you. Chef One Above All on Instagram. Check him out there. But what annoys me about Dan is that, I mean, you look at this guy. He's like made of stone. He's like he's chiseled. He's always posting videos at the gym. He's got his hat pulled over all the way down to the brim of his nose. He's lifting like 7,000 pounds. But then you see him hang out with him. The dude drinks like 95 beers, and he's good to go.
Good to go. And I eat carbs, but I'm cutting down on the carbs. But, you know, I go to the gym. I'm telling you, it fuels me when I'm in the gym. I'm in the gym, and I'm benching, and I'm just pushing through, and I'm like, I want that cheeseburger. I'm telling you, I'm doing it for the food. I'm doing it for the love of the food.
That's awesome.
I still want to look good, feel good, but then I want to be able to eat what I want to eat.
That's awesome. Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm down about 15 pounds.
Oh, I noticed. I mean, yeah, you're looking good, man. You're looking real good.
We're getting there. You can see it in the face and stuff. It's because I've been sitting here drinking. You know, I haven't had the carbs, and I've been really doing it diet wise. I haven't done a whole lot of exercise because of work, but more dieting and starving myself. But that it's working.
Starving yourself. Honestly, your diet is like 85% of it.
You can't outwork a bad diet.
You cannot. You absolutely cannot. You have to get there. When like where I'm at now, I feel good enough about myself that I can cheat a little more, and then once I see, I'll go into a time when I'll cut down on some stuff, work it out, and then get back to where I want to be, and then I can cheat a little bit more. And then you got to have that balance. I think balance is key to everything.
Right. Well, it's hard as a chef, man, because I mean, we work terrible hours. Like, you know, you're constantly like, here's the thing. That night we did the event, like I didn't really eat all day, but I was snacking on shit all day. You know,
all day. You don't even know what you ate.
Nah, I couldn't fucking tell you. But like I was eating a little bit of everything, you know, because it's what you have to do.
Then you tend to eat late a lot because now you're like, well, I'm kind of hungry. I haven't really eaten. So then you're shoving all kinds of stuff in your face. And it's, what was it, 10 o'clock?
Right. But that stuff was good, though.
Yeah, it was. I kept shoving it in my face. Those burnt ends, man. I can't get over them burnt ends.
That's right. Hey, man, let's talk about that event for a minute, man. I just kind of want to put a bow on it here and wrap it up. And,
yes.
You know, that's why it's great to have you because you were so instrumental in that happening, man. And thank you again for all your hard work on that. Dan was like our main food guy. He took over the whole spreadsheet on the food and made it all happen. But, you know, it was crazy that went from. It just shows you the power of a group of positive people, man. That event was a conversation here on this very radio show. And then, you know, 2 months later, we're on a sub base and Nick Fratiani's playing and we're serving 700 sailors, man. I mean, what an experience. Just kind of surreal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely surreal. Definitely surreal. It felt really good. It really, like, I've said this a couple times and I don't know if you understand how much that actually meant to me personally. Like, it meant a lot to me personally to do that. Like, everything else aside, like, there was, you know, video cameras there and there was people taking pictures and there was interviews and stuff, but in all honesty, like, all I cared about was giving the food to these soldiers, to the sailors, and helping as many people understand and talk to them about what they were doing and giving back in the way that I felt like I got when I was in the Army and I was cooking and working them long hours and hating those days. And to feel I did that, and not only did that, but my cauliflower mac and cheese is going to go on the Navy menu for
so
the
dope.
Entire Navy. Like, that, I've been telling people that, like, I'm walking in the store today and I'm like, hey, how you doing? Can you pass me that? By the way, you know, I got this recipe that's going in and it's going to go into rotation of the Navy catalog. They're like, okay, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, but for you though, for you, man, it's a different experience, I think, for you than it was for all. Listen, it was great for me. I've never been in service, but it was great for me to be there. And, you know, I could never understand what these men and women go through and what they've seen and what they've been around. And but to go through that experience, it's very humbling. But for you, a whole different type of experience because, you know, you lived that life at one point.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was different. Like, yeah, like I said, it was emotional. I cried for like a good 30 seconds to a minute, like 10 minutes into getting there on Friday, where I was kind of like trying not to. And I couldn't help it. Like, this emotion overtook me. And I kind of had tears in my eyes. I had to, like, kind of wipe them out. And I'll cry. I don't give a damn. I got two daughters. They need to see a man cry sometimes. So I'll let it loose. And then I was like, now it's down to business. I mean,
right.
It really, really touched me in a way that, honestly, I don't know anything that's touched me like that in a long time. So it really meant a lot to me. And I thank you for your efforts, because I mean, you did it. You made it happen. You put everything out there. You talked to all the people. You did everything that needed to be done. All we did was take your lead and just do what we had to do. And, you know, obviously we try to do our best for, you know, the same reasons as you, but I mean, you're the one that made it happen. So I thank you so much for that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, man, but you're only as good as your team. And, I had the best team possible, out there. And the coolest thing about the team that we organized for this event was we're all still talking. We're still that's group text message. We're all still talking.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody got really close together, which is pretty awesome. I mean, last night, everyone's saying Happy New Year to each other. And I think the best part for me, the biggest compliment is when I'm getting text messages on the group chat from everybody talking about what are we doing next? Like, that was awesome. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hesitate at all. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I think about that too, because I mean, there's a lot of things we could do, and I hope that we really can stem something off of this, because it'd be awesome.
Well, I can tell you one thing for sure. We will definitely do this again next year at minimum.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've already asked, so.
Yeah, of course they did.
You know, we'll do a different level, make it bigger and better than before. But, you know, it wasn't just us. I mean, we were there. Like, we were there doing stuff. We were there cooking. We were there organizing and doing all the work and stuff like that, the hard work. But we had a lot of help. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people from, you know, the Green Thumb Organic Farm to, you know, the big
Dairyland, Cisco.
Dairyland, yep, Cisco.
Cisco.
Big Green Egg.
Spiceology. Big Green Egg.
All these guys helped out. But, you know, one of the biggest helps we also had with some of our friends over at Lucky Hair Brewing Company up in Hector, New York. You know, it just so happens that these guys are super cool and decided to, Ian, one of the owners over there, threw us a couple of kegs to bring down. Because, listen, you can't be in service not like beer, Dan, right? You got to drink beer.
No. I mean, you got to, like, yeah, beer is, especially now, like, there's so many flavor profiles to beer. Like, as a chef, you get all that. It's awesome. It's nice to have something you can drink that's not flat, that's not, you know, just sitting there. It's something that bounces off your palate in so many different directions and creates so much flavor. And it's just nice to sit back and enjoy like a movie or something drinking that good beer.
Right. Well, I want to talk about flavors. I want to talk about putting things together when it comes to beer. So tonight we're joined by the one and only Ian from Lucky Hair Brewing Company up in Hector, New York. Ian, good evening, good brother. How are you? Thanks for taking the time to be on the program tonight.
What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for including me. And it sounds like you might be the two nicest people I will ever have the pleasure of talking to after listening to you for the first 10 minutes there. So probably get a lot of great advice and how to be a dad. It's just nice to be here. So thanks for having me.
You're the man. Listen, I want to start off really quick right away with saying you gave a couple of kegs for the event, and they were delicious. That was the Brotato Pale Ale you sent up.
Yep.
That beer is delicious, man. Talk about that beer for a second, and where does the name come from?
That beer, obviously with everybody making New Englands and stuff like that, and everything's got to be hazy, and if it's not hazy, it doesn't taste good, apparently. We got on that train 6 months ago, and it was the first Brotato. We didn't have a name, but we were using Idaho 7 hops, which is a hop that's grown in Idaho. And there was that commercial that was out with, you know, Brotato chip, and this guy was working out or whatever. I forget what, I think it was a Geico commercial of all things. And we came up with the name Idaho Brotato. That was the first one, and now we're on our 11th. And so it varies. You know, we keep it hazy. That one actually was a little bit lighter, but most of them they're very hazy, and it's just highlighting whatever hops that we can get that are exciting and fresh, and whether they're local, like the one that you had there, Brotato 11, that was all New York State hops, grown 35 miles from where our brewery is at. Or we do Brotatos with South African hops or from the West Coast or Australia, you know, whatever we can get that's exciting. So it's constantly changing, and people just love saying Brotato. But a lot of people say Brotato, though.
Brotato, those guys need to leave. We're not saying Brotato. Yeah, they need to get the hell out.
So we did a double IPA version of it, and it was, I wrote Brotato, Brotato, and people would say Brotato, Brotato. Brotato. It's a great beer, man. I'm glad that that folks enjoyed it, and I'm sad to say it's all gone now. We're already making another one, but that's some good stuff.
Hey, I gotta do a big shout out, Dan, to Chief Flake, because I know he might have crushed one of those kegs by himself. This guy was he was a beast.
Easy.
I heard he was a thirsty dude. Yeah, I heard.
Unbelievable.
Jeff was saying.
So listen, man. So beers. How'd you get into doing beer?
Well, my background originally is in marine biology, and I left that career, came back to the United States and didn't really know what I was doing, and just started buying a lot of beer. I mean, I was drinking High Life, so I
okay,
wasn't
wait,
really
time out. I got to stop you. Hold on a second. So you went to school for marine biology, right?
Yes.
So you spent all this money, went to school, had a degree, you were working hard at it. You decided, nah, never mind.
I have 2 degrees. I have 2, actually.
2?
Wow.
One that I'll never pay off, and one that I'll probably hear about from my parents for the rest of my life. So they're
Holy
still paying
shit.
That one off.
But you go to marine biology, you have a job, you're doing well. Then you're like, yeah, no, I'm done. You move back to the States. Where were you?
I was in the Bahamas.
That's a terrible. Your life sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a long story why I left, and I think most people with common sense would have left too for what situation I was in. But yeah, man, I had the perfect setup on a beach on Andros Island with a hut, driving boats and snorkeling and scuba diving and teaching kids about marine science. It was a dream job, and if I ever hit the Powerball, maybe I'll go back and do that. When I have time so that's what I used to do.
But then you move back here, and like any other person who moves back after deciding to leave paradise and a great job, you bought a bunch of beer.
Yeah, I didn't know what else to do with myself. I had a couple of bucks in my pocket, so I spent it on $70 cases of beer, and I was back with my parents at 30 years old, which is where everybody wants to be, and they're with life goals, and and I was like, what? Why are we buying this? Like, can't we just make beer? We can probably make beer that's pretty good, and save a couple of bucks. I guess maybe I was cheap or full of spite. I don't know what was happening or going through my mind.
Spite will get you a long way.
Yeah.
It will. It will. It's a powerful driving force. So my stepdad and I, we took a class in a basement at a restaurant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, about homebrewing. And then we just started homebrewing together, as what every stepfather and stepson would do. And
you're still not working.
Who, me?
No,
still
no,
not working?
No, at this point in time where you're homebrewing and stuff like that.
No. I think at that point I was doing some work from home job for a guy that was dealing with emissions, like gas emissions from a Mercedes-Benz plant. I was building Excel workbooks for him.
Gotcha.
Random gig. So yes, but homebrewing at that time, making some money on the side, living with my parents at 30 years old. Just started going crazy with it. It was like I had 2 fermenters, then I had 5, then I had 10, then I had 60 cases of beer in the basement.
Jesus.
And that was the point where I moved up to New York State, because I got out of my parents' house in Pennsylvania. I went up to where I'm at now, up here in upstate New York, and just kept the homebrewing thing going, but not really planning on starting a brewery. It was kind of like, well, we could maybe do something up here, because it's a very unique area with all the wineries and like this big tasting environment and culture that comes through, and they want to try all new stuff. And we were presented with some opportunities, and I knew some people in the brewing industry where I could do some internships and really learn from professionals. And then that was about a 2-year process, and we just made the leap. We just said, the hell with it. This is what, we want to do. We feel pretty good about emptying all of our savings and starting a brewery. So,
wow. And how long has the brewery been open now?
We'll be 3 years old May of this year.
Nice,
so
nice.
It's been quick. We started out as a 1-barrel brewery, so I was making 31 gallons of beer, 31 gallons every time, which is a very small amount.
Right. That's not very much.
Not very much. So you can't really start a brewery off of that. But that's what I did. And then I went to a 3-barrel brewing system, which I have now. That's with 8 fermenters. And then we're expanding. We're building a new spot, which we'll be moving into end of April. Hopefully we'll be filling fermenters, and that'll be a 5,000 square foot brewery in Watkins Glen. So it's kind of, it's gone quick, like from us pouring our first pint to now all of a sudden it's like, oh god, we really need to start making more beer, and we really need to invest and get bigger. So, which is a good problem. So that's where we stand now. So yes, I was on the beach in the Bahamas working on my tan as an Irishman can get, to now about to move into a state-of-the-art brewing facility. So it's been good. It's been really good.
Nice, man. That's awesome, dude. I think it's an incredible story. And I want to talk more about the, where you're moving to, but before we do that, Dan, tell them a little information where they can find more about Lucky Hair.
Yes, Ian's brewery is Lucky Hair Brewing. You can catch them on Instagram at Lucky Hair Brewing, and of course at luckyhairbrewing.com.
So, Ian, you guys are moving, and I want to get to that in a minute, but where you guys are at right now is a pretty great spot, especially for craft beer. I mean, what a great area. You're up there by Ithaca. Oh, yeah. And that's a cool spot.
Oh yeah, and where we're at on we're on Seneca Lake. So if you're familiar with the way the Finger Lakes are, we are the deepest of all the lakes, but not the longest. But you're able to see the lake from our tap room, and it's just beautiful. You're surrounded by all these wineries, and breweries are popping up here and there every year. We get like one more. So yeah, it's totally great. If you have never been there, it's definitely worth a trip. Seeing all the vineyards it's great. It's absolutely it's a vacation destination.
Yeah, Dan, you can vouch. You talk about it too, man, because you drink a lot of craft beers, man. You drink a lot of them. You're one of those guys who doesn't mind paying the $25 for a 4-pack. Which, by the way, I noticed in the store. Dude, literally, like yesterday
I
in the store.
$18 for a beer.
Stop it.
Damn.
I was in the store the other day, and I literally just saw there is more 4-packs now than 6-packs. So here's my whole theory. There's some comedian that made the joke about when sneakers used to cost $30, and then it went up to $140 out of nowhere, like overnight, and they dropped that shit back down to $80, and we all got happy it was $80 again, but we forgot that we're just paying $40 more for sneakers than we used to pay. But but same thing with beers, man. We used to buy 6-packs of beer for $7, $8. An expensive 6-pack was $9, but now, hell, you can't buy a 6-pack of Heineken for $9. Like, it's crazy what's happened now. And not only is it not a 6-pack anymore, it's a 4-pack. Maybe I'm old. I don't know. Listen, I appreciate great beer, but that's what's happening now with this whole craft beer movement happening in our country. I mean, Dan, how much money do you think you spend in beer, like, in a month?
Well, remember we had this conversation. We were talking about quality over quantity.
Right.
I mean, the quality of craft beer now is phenomenal. I was never a beer drinker. When I was in the Army, I drank beer, but that was only to get drunk. Like, I didn't care about what it tasted like. I wanted to be wasted. Like, I was 19 years old, wasn't supposed to be drinking, I'm getting drunk, whatever I can get my hands on. So then I stopped drinking beers for a long period of time and became a wine guy, you know, more like you. Like, you know, you like your fine wines. I want a good beer, you know? So I started drinking beer when I found
out. Wait, hold up. Every time this weekend I ordered a glass of wine, Dan just looks at me and goes, "You're a wine guy."
So I started drinking Magic Hat from Vermont, and then I started drinking Two Roads because it was very local to me.
Right.
And I was like, wow, these are actually have some quality to them. And then I started investigating beers more and found out that like really good beer is out there, and it has so much flavor, so much better in comparison to a Heineken or a Corona or a Bud. Like, there's so much there. Like this fruit salad that Lucky Hair has is a sour, and a sour is something that a lot of people don't really try because they're afraid of it, because it's not a typical beer. It has a different aftertaste, has a different tone. It's sour, essentially, and it's the high acid levels. My wife loves sours. We started drinking sours, and you know, you should have something like that. It's fruity and has a little bit of sour and body. So I mean, there's so many levels to beer. It's incredible.
Man, sours are whole. I won an award for doing a dinner for Two Roads for their sours. It was a Sourcopia dinner, which is pretty awesome. But here in Connecticut, I mean, we're a small state, and I think we've got something like 60 breweries now. It's insane how many are popping up.
I think it's more than that.
Is it really? I'm trying to see right now.
It's a lot.
119.
I can ask my. I was gonna say I can ask my Google Home Hub. I just broke it out, and I can talk to it and get you the exact numbers.
Dude, ask it. Ask it. How many breweries are in Connecticut? Let's see what it says.
Let's see. Or maybe your phones will go off too. Hey Google, how many breweries are there in Connecticut?
Here's a summary from the website en.wikipedia.org.
Oh, it's just really long.
In 2012, Connecticut's 22 breweries and brew pubs employed 430
people. Yeah, there was 22 in 2012, so I don't know. The 6 years ago, there's got to be way more than that.
2012? Well, you got to update your Google or
something? Yeah. I don't know. My Wikipedia is from
2012. Your Wikipedia's out of date.
Yeah, I guess I got
the old internet. You got to get the new internet.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's
I signed it to the wrong internet today. Yeah,
it's a lot, man. I'm looking through the list right now. I mean, it's got to be over 50. It's a ton. But my point is that us being a tiny state that we are, I mean, our state's 90 miles across. It's not a big state. For us to have that many breweries, I got to imagine in New York State, it's got to be just outrageous, especially as you head upstate.
Yeah, we're over 400 as of last year.
Wow.
When we got into the game, it was like – where they were just breaking 300 or was in a 200. So now there's, I believe it's over 7,000 in the United States. So, and there's no sign of any decline as to opening breweries. You know, some of the people are just becoming more educated. So they're starting to select and they know what good beer is. And those breweries are the ones that are going to last longer. And some other ones are, you know, flaming out or whatever, but it's still going up. There's more being created than being closed, so it's a great time to be alive if you like beer.
I have a question. In Connecticut, they have incentives to open breweries.
Yes, they do.
The state does. Do they have incentives in New York?
They do. Yeah. So that's how we got started. Also, it's a Farm Brewery Act, and what that is you become a farm brewery, which we are. And you're required to use a certain amount of grain and a certain amount of hops from New York State in every beer.
Oh, nice.
And so you support the agriculture. So it actually, today is the first. It went from 20% of every beer has to be New York State grain and New York State hops. That today it starts, it's now 60%.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a big jump. It's a very big jump. Yeah.
You probably want to do that anyway, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, sure, absolutely. To support, you know, all the agriculture. I mean, all the malters and the folks that we talk to that come by and share what they're doing and it's a great working relationship, and it really certainly helps all the farmers and agriculture business here in New York State.
So a couple of years ago, I think it was back in 2016 or something like that. I can't remember the exact episode. I had Lauren Wood Salzar from New Belgium Brewing Company on here. And New Belgium, I think about them as kind of a craft type brewing. I mean, you know, they're big, but they're a craft type brewing company in my brain. You know, I think Fat Tire is a great beer, but they've been around a long time. What I didn't know, when I had them on, they are the second largest brewer in our country. That's just crazy when you think about that. Like, I mean, that's something that you could be in 3 years. Like, it's just crazy how much beer is taking off, especially. You know, with just the regular, I don't want to say common people, but you know what I mean? Like with everybody, like the everyman, like people like great beer.
Oh yeah. But, and that's also interesting. You say like an everyman or common people or like your regular beer drinker, you know, craft beers, people think that, you know, we're throwing everything into any kind of beer and it's all these weird ingredients. But, we also love making lagers and pilsners and very clean, refreshing beers that, are not what you would expect, like something that's, you know, a triple IPA that's 16%. We're also interested and really enjoy making those lagers for the regular drinkers. And that's kind of like with like Fat Tire from New Belgium. I mean, that's a universal beer.
Yeah.
If you like beer, you'll like that. And that's what helped them get so big and so popular and important in the craft brewing industry.
I call it a fishing beer. It's a beer you can drink while you're fishing.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but it's, so a lot of these guys,
good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, though, here in Connecticut, where we are, Dan, like, they make these so I'm not a giant hoppy beer fan. Let me tell you why. Because they make these crazy hoppy beers that the second you drink one, all you want is a fucking High Life champagne and beers because you're still thirsty afterwards because this shit is destroyed. Like, you're dying. And it's almost too much, you know? I know there are hopheads and people who really enjoy that, but I think for me, and I think of myself as the everyman, like, I couldn't drink that. It's too much. It's too heavy. I mean, Dan, you like hoppy beers, right?
I love hoppy beers. I love hoppy beers. I love big flavor beer. So when I want my beer hoppy, I want it to be hoppy. When I have my when I have a barrel aged stout or something, I want it to be rich. I want it to be deep. I want to feel all of that. And like with a sour, I want that acid level to be high. Like that's how I am. Just because I don't know if it's because of my experience with food and my need to have like big flavors whenever I have something, because that's my style of cooking. I everything is big flavors, so I look for that. So even if it makes me thirsty, I drink water anyway. I love water, so it doesn't even bother me. I never even really thought about that maybe I drink more water when I drink an IPA or not, but I don't know.
Pay attention to it next time. Ian, what do you think, man? Like, are you a giant hop guy, or are you trying to be more controlled with it?
As far as my drinking preference, I usually will go for the IPAs first, and then work my way down. It's usually IPAs and then lagers or pilsners, something like that. So, but I do agree with the big stouts too. I do like those a lot, but you can only drink a little bit. And they, you know, obviously when you have a 12% beer or something like that, you're not doing anything else. You know, that's going to be it. Like, you got to let everybody know you're going to drink a 12% beer and you can't rely on me for anything, because I'm going to be on the couch taking.
No, I love that. That's when I want to sit back. I want that beer, because that's what I do. I just chill. I want to sip it. I hate chugging the beer. I don't like any beer. If I could chug a beer, then I'm not really into that beer, because I don't like that. I want a flavor. I want to get all that flavor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And with those beers too, it's, you know, you let it kind of open up. It's, you know, the beer, those bigger stouts, they just, it changes, you know, different flavors, obviously, as things get warmer. And it's an experience, I guess you could say, when drinking those larger beers. Really good stuff.
So I'm lucky enough right now to be sitting here at the home studio here by the bar down in my basement, enjoying a wonderful, and I love beer. Like, you don't understand how much of a beer guy. I love beer so much. In the summertime, I work out in the Hamptons, and my family's at home, and I'm out there, and literally I work a 12 or 15 hour day, and then I'd go to the yacht club, I drink 9 beers, eat a whole pizza, and go home and go to bed, get up and do the same thing tomorrow. Right? It's not healthy. So I had taken a pretty long break from drinking beers, and for the holidays and stuff, I'm picking it back up. But tomorrow, I won't do it for a while. But right now, I'm lucky enough to be sitting down here, enjoying a Belgian Golden Ale from Lucky Hair Brewing. It's bottle conditioned ale. Talk about this beer I'm drinking right now, because Dan, I wish you could taste this. At first, I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like it," but now, like, I've already crushed the entire bottle. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to drink for the last half hour of the show. But
whoops.
It's a great beer. Talk about this beer for a minute, man. This is a really good beer.
Yeah, so that's came from my, if you want to call it a cellar, all of my cellar beers. But it's a lot of we bottle condition all of our beers.
And what does that mean? Tell everybody what that means, a bottle condition. What does that mean?
So you have two ways of carbonating beer, and one is it's already comes out of a tank. Like if you get a canned beer or whatever, that's going to come from a tank where the beer is already carbonated and it's canned under pressure, so you still retain all that CO2 in the beer when it's sealed. With bottle conditioning, you have a finished beer, and then it conditions in the bottle with a little bit more yeast and some more sugar, and so the yeast will eat the sugar, release CO2. And then you get the beer will be carbonated that way.
Yeah,
and it's a different kind of carbonation. It's a different. It's nice. The tinier bubbles, a little bit more fine. I prefer bottle conditioned beers if I could be snobby about it. But
I think I do too. Actually, that's new for me. I think I do too. And it's going to have a little bit of cloud to it because of the extra yeast added to the bottle, right?
Yes. Yep. And that's. And it depends if you like that or not. You know, it's one of the things we talked about. Do we mention that there is sediment on the bottom, because we do have yeast in there. You know, because if you shake it up, obviously it gets all in the beer and changes the look of it. But I haven't had that beer in probably 3 months, just because I forgot I had those hidden down in the basement. That'll remind me to have some of those maybe this weekend to see how that's holding up, because all hand bottled.
You're going to send me a box, because that's awesome. I love it. This is great stuff. Good. So talk about the Belgian Golden Ale, man. What kind of hops are you using it and the process?
We used Belgian strong yeast in there. And that was a very simple Belgian beer, just higher in alcohol. The hops that we used were from New York State, because we were a farm brewery. So we used Willamette hops, which are just, you know, they're very good for, you know, balancing out balancing out the beer. It doesn't really add too much hop flavor, just a nice clean bitterness to it. But for that, that's really, with some Belgian beers, it's the flavor that's driven by fermentation and by the yeast. So you get lots of like peppery phenols to it. Could be a bit fruity also. Sometimes, you know, Belgian yeast will put off like banana or bubble gummy or just really nice fruit to it. And yeah, I mean, that was our goal with that beer, because, you know, every anniversary we're trying to make new beers to be unique just for that day. And while that style is not unique for us, it was a new beer that we did not make. So it gave us a chance to try something out new and then share it with all the people that come to, you know, support Lucky Hair. So yeah, we'll definitely be doing that again, but it'll probably be something different as opposed to just a straightforward Belgian Golden. So, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad it's holding up, because when I heard you were opening that, I was like, well, you know, these beers are alive, so you don't know really where they go. I mean, that's one of the things that's about great craft beer too, is that it's not pasteurized, you know, it's, you know, most are unfiltered. So you still have a lot of live yeast in there that changes beer over time. So I'm happy to hear that that's still holding up really well.
Absolutely delicious. Go ahead.
And
sorry.
That's like, oh, you want me to?
Yeah, my fault, man. I apologize. I'm just interrupting you. Go for it.
And then Ian's speaking on behalf of Lucky Hair Brewing. That's Lucky Hair, like the rabbit.
Yep. Rabbit,
then,
yeah.
Yep, at Lucky Hair Brewing at Instagram. And in Hector, New York, in right near Ithaca, right? And you have your tasting room is open on Wednesdays and Sundays?
Wednesdays and Sundays, yeah. We have a tasting room right now. It's actually in a residential house. If you drive up there, if we didn't have the signs outside, you would not think that there is a bar inside the house. But we have a six tap bar in there that we pour all of our beer from. So yeah.
And LuckyHairBrewing.com is do you sell any merchandise?
We do. Yep, online store. We sell all of our merch on there. We have a really fantastic artist out of Philadelphia that does all of our artwork. So, you know, when you see stuff like our logos or anything on our merchandise, we work hand in hand with an artist that we met that does everything for us. So you can buy all of our merchandise changes. I mean, that's kind of the thing too with craft breweries is, you know, merchandise is a big thing, and people like to, you know, buy new gear and whenever there's new artwork. So we focus on that too,
dude,
to make sure that we also have like really new, fresh looking gear. So.
I'm a huge fan of this beer, Dan. This is great beer. I mean, these guys are, I mean, listen, there's people who do, you know, small breweries and craft breweries who do good jobs, but this is a great job. This is really good stuff, man. And I think I'm actually going to have to go get a T-shirt. I'm going to wear it on the TV show. I think that's going to be the plan.
It's really cool artwork on the bottles. I saw all the bottles. The cans, those big-ass cans you got.
The crowlers.
Those cans are dope.
Yeah, crowlers.
Yeah. Those are awesome.
Yeah, we do. We try and do seasonal art on those also. So we just got a new one in, but like the one you guys had was the hair surfing. Then the winter one was Jon Snow. It was a Game of Thrones themed label. And so people just buy, they would just buy the cans. They're like, well, I don't even want beer, and I just want the can. I'm like, well, okay.
But, I want to walk around with that can. I want to like walk around the beach with that big ass can, and people are like, you gotta look like half a keg.
Yeah, that's how you make friends.
Exactly.
That's how you make friends right there. If you want to make friends, yeah, get a bunch of crowlers.
Hey, talk about the name Lucky Hair Brewing. Where did that come from?
So we were actually called Wild Hair. That was our original name, Wild Hair Brewing. But around that time, we incorporated Shiner, came out with Wild Hair Pale Ale.
Gotcha.
And we decided to not do that, just in case, you know, for whatever reason, we don't want to get any cease and desist or dealing with lawyers or whatever. But it came. Like when we were deciding starting the brewery, like, well, what are we going to name it? And that was a really hard process because we had a lot of terrible names. And then one day.
Wait, I want to hear some of the names. I want to hear. Can you think of some of the names?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing we want to hear.
You know,
as chefs, like we go right for the bad shit. We want to hear the terrible things.
I'm getting like the chills. I wish, you know, I should have prepared and got notes. But I remember one being like, and this like hurts me to say this. Oh God. The Malted Otter was one of them. I was like ah. And we were going to be named after the local cemetery.
What's it called?
They're like Seneca Union which wasn't like the worst.
That's not terrible.
But if you're from the neighborhood, you know.
Right. If you're from the neighborhood, Dude, malted it's... otter, dead.
Malted it bothers otter. Me. It bothers me to share that information. Like I'm getting the deep chills right now.
Hey, that's great.
Personal information. Don't tell anybody.
You just told roughly 20,000 people, maybe more than that, that you were going to call yourself malted otter. Just want to point that out to you.
Yeah. No good.
Malted otter.
Hashtag malted otter. Yeah. No, it's but.
That's great.
But the name came from wild hair. Was actually from my stepfather's his eyebrow hair. Was mowing. Which is like even dumber, but still like wild
stick
hair.
Malted otter.
Crazy, right? Yeah. Well, he's driving on his John Deere out mowing the lawn, and he's like yelling because he had a stroke of genius, or maybe a stroke. I don't know. He's driving up like
some sort of stroke.
Wild hair.
Yeah. He's like wild hair. I'm like, oh no, call the ambulance.
Oh no.
But, like, slow on his John Deere and yelling, and that was the name, Wild Hair Brewing Company. I was like, this is perfect. This is great. We can build, you know, a concept. Artwork off of that, because a malted otter would, I don't know what that would have been, and but the wild hair, and then that's what started this whole hair thing. I'm never gonna let that one down. The malted
Look,
otter
otters are awesome. Otters are awesome. I'm not
otters
lying.
Are awesome.
Yeah,
they live a great life. They eat shellfish every day, you know, they chill on their back, and they always look like they're having fun. So
are they local? Are there otters in upstate New York?
No, definitely not. That
Lakes?
Was another thing too. Nope, there is.
Yeah, okay, I didn't think so.
No. We still have a list of all the names. I feel like that should be framed and put up in the tap room so everybody can boo us.
Hell
and
yeah.
Say
hey, next time you're on, that's happening. We're gonna
yeah, actually, that's a good question. I want to ask all brewers. Every time I meet somebody that owns a brewery from now on, I'm gonna ask them what their alternative names for their brewery.
That's a great question.
I wish I had them. I would definitely bore the people that are listening and go through all of the names.
No, it's not boring. It's not boring. Yeah. I mean, listen.
You guys have a good time, and I'm just like, oh, God. And then there was this terrible name.
Once we become better friends, I'll do nothing but make fun of every single one of them right to your face.
Oh, that's fine. You know what? I got a t-shirt idea. We should have a t-shirt that just says all the names that we thought about, and then somehow we ended up with Lucky Hair. That would be
that's
funny.
Great.
Yeah, like in big on the bottom. Like
yeah, right, big, exactly.
Like
Lucky
this
Hair
is
the one.
Bottom.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about flavors really quick, man, because I don't know if people realize how many different things affect the flavors in a beer, from the yeast to the hops to the water you use. I mean, how many different things affect the flavors, and how many things do you think about when you're making a beer?
Well, first that we have to think about what kind of beer we're going to make. So, you know, if we want to stick with IPAs, and since those are king right now, it depends on what kind of style. So, like right now, we're finishing up a Brut IPA, which is a new style that came out of San Francisco over, it's been at least a year, maybe more. And so we think about that kind of beer. So we want to make it super dry. So with that, the first thing is to think about grain that we're going to use.
Right.
So we want stuff that's super fermentable, that, you know, the sugar is readily available for the yeast to eat. So we're going to use corn, and we're going to use... simple two row malt in there, which is your base malt, which is, you know, you're going to find in almost every beer that's being made.
Wait, did you say you're going to use corn to make it?
Yep, flake corn. Okay, so or flake maize. So
is this a gluten-free
that breaks
beer?
Down. No, because we're using grain in there. So we're using regular two row barley in there, but corn is super fermentable. You'll find that in a lot of lagers, like American lagers. So we'll use that because it's going to be dry. It's not going to add a lot of flavor. What we're trying to do is highlight the hops in this beer and then to produce something that's going to be effervescent, dry, but then have lots of hop flavor and aromatics. So it's like you're drinking this wonderful, dry, bubbly
bouquet
and the champagne that has, it's just, yeah, exactly. So that we think about that for the grain. And then with your water, for us, we're lucky because Hector has great brewing water, so we want something with some serious hardness in there. So again, it'll be nice and dry. You'll be able to highlight the bitterness, and then then with yeast, you don't want any flavor. You don't really want to put out any flavor from the yeast. So you want something that's going to produce just a neutral beer, and then really just carry those hops that you want to highlight. So. The one that we did was with Azaka and Mosaic hops because we wanted to make it tropical, and we know that those are going to produce tropical mango, papaya, big notes like that to really stand out on something that's nice and dry. So, we go through that with every beer. I mean, a lot of our beers we've already made multiple times, so we know. But, you know, when you're developing a recipe and trying to figure out what you want to pour for the customers, you go through all those things, thinking about the water chemistry, thinking about the hops, and it all comes into play. So, it's a lot of factors. Definitely a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of factors for sure. I mean, what generation of yeast are we using? What year crop are these hops from? Where are they from? You know, because that affects them too. I mean, we have in New York State, we buy from a couple of different hop growers here, and they might grow the same varieties, but they might be 60 miles apart, and they're taste totally different. So, it's very fun because it's challenging. You get all these ingredients, and there's a billion combinations or a trillion, you know, just to make one beer. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, and sometimes there's a lot of like, well, we'll see.
Right. The environment plays a part of it too, right?
Oh, the environment.
The environment, because people talk about, you know, with wine, how it was a rainy year or something like that. Like the moisture in the air is going to affect how your beer is going to taste from year to year too, right?
Totally. Yeah, terroir, where it's grown at, the hops, it'll be totally different. So it's what makes beer exciting and brewing beer, besides being able to drink it and have it, I guess, whenever you want it. That's really exciting when it comes to making beer.
He's dropping culinary school words on us, brother. He's a terroir. That reminds me of wine class.
Yeah.
Mr. Weiss.
Class, yeah.
That's right. It's pretty much, you know, you guys have all the ingredients, you know what you want to make, and it's how you get there and what you do before you plate it. So we're kind of the same, you know. We just
no doubt about that.
We just serve something different to people, but yeah, it's a similar process.
Well, I think it's a good idea of something to see. Like when we talk about local, some people will downplay local, like, oh, what's the difference between a tomato from Connecticut and a tomato from New York? And people don't realize that how things are grown and where things are grown affect how it tastes. And until you've actually tasted them next to each other in their simplicity, people don't really understand that. But once you've gone around and tasted different things at different farms and tasted things that came from California, and now you're sitting in front of you and it's this pale white tomato, you're going to tell me that's going to taste as good as it's a fresh tomato from somebody's garden? No, absolutely not.
No way. Yeah. Jersey tomatoes by far are the best.
No.
But that's just me.
I disagree.
That's just me. You disagree?
You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
beautiful locally grown Connecticut tomatoes are really hard to beat. And that's a tomato that made me fall in love with tomatoes. And I'm not even from here.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not from Jersey. I'm from Philly. So, to say Jersey is also, you know, we think everything's the best from Philadelphia, but
I hear you.
Jersey tomatoes for me, you know, that's where it's at. At least maybe those are the most tomatoes that I ate as a kid that I remember, you know. But yeah,
they're delicious.
I think it's,
you had mentioned
it's
about
food. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, listen, so Ian, you had talked about you guys are moving to a bigger location. Talk about that a little bit and what's been involved in that and what the future looks like.
Well, I randomly went to an economic development meeting and spoke to this woman that said that they were, it was like, it's a February 2 years ago, snowing out. I was like, well, why don't I go to Watkins Glen Raceway, which is the big NASCAR track here in Watkins where I live. Okay. And they had a meeting with all these, they knew that they were going to be putting money into the Finger Lakes. And so it was an economic development meeting. And I ended up speaking to this woman that they were trying to build a business park that was for alcohol production strictly, you know, with dealing with wastewater. Yeah, so they're building this, it's now built. It's a 19,000 square foot facility, and they want to have multiple tenants in there that are all producing alcohol. And whether it's a winery, distillery, cidery, brewery, meadery, whatever it may be. And we're like, okay, sure, we'll talk and we'll, you know, see how this goes. And it just kind of just took on a life of its own. And after, you know, hundreds of pages of paperwork and signing our lives away, we're going to be tenants in there for at least 5 years. So it's a state-of-the-art facility, and it's going to have a pre-wastewater treatment not, I don't want to say a plant, but it'll be able to handle all of the brewery water that's coming out there. And that's one of the big things for us, because if we wanted to get bigger at our current location, we would have nothing but holding tanks, because there's no public sewer. We have public water, but not public sewer. So, and we want to be environmentally friendly. So that was the step. But for us too, also trying to keep up with demand, we added a full-time brewer, which I used to be the full-time brewer and I'm now not, and added three more fermenters just to keep up. And it was like, this is as much as we can go. We definitely need something different and a bigger facility. And it kind of just lined up perfect for us. So we're going from, we're at a three barrel system right now. So we finish usually with about 93 gallons of beer after every brew. And now we'll be at like 450 gallons.
That's great.
So we're going to be five times larger, you know, state of the art, everything custom built, brew house that's in the works right now from North Carolina. Yeah, man, hopefully in April, late April, early May, we'll be, already have fermenters filled up and we'll do a mobile canning, whether we do four packs or six packs. We, you know, we're kind of, I think everybody on the team is in agreement that's four packs, but I kind of, me personally, I like six packs. I like 12 ounces. So
wait a minute. Am I the asshole? Wait, am I the asshole here? Are the four packs 16 ounces? And like, so it's the same amount of beer. Am I an asshole?
For what?
Like a four pack versus the 12 versus the six pack. Is it 6 12-ounce beers and 4 16-ounce beers? Like, am I doing the
math? Yeah, 4 16-ounce beers. Yeah, you either get 4 16-ouncers or 6 12-ounces.
Well, you're missing 8 ounces there then.
You are, yes. You're getting 8 more ounces when you have a six pack of beer.
Dan, I'm not the asshole, no. Even though I can't do math. Okay. You're the asshole, not me, see?
I guess I am. Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Well,
I'm not saying anything.
Well, listen, when you make those, you got make some beautiful, delicious, fantastic, locally made craft beer, but make it affordable. Give us 1 4-pack or 6-pack that's like affordable.
Oh, totally. And that's the goal with our lager right now. It's called Lucky Hair Lager. It's not a fancy name. We're trying to keep it very simple, but we want that to be sold at a price that's more approachable, as to $18, $20 for a 4-pack of beer.
Jesus.
You know, we want something that's going to be much cheaper. Now, I don't know what that price point is,
because $7.
We haven't gotten to that stage yet, but if we can get it at $10 or under $10 or
$7.
Around there,
let's do $7. Yeah, bucks, I mean, Ian.
$7.
Yeah, listen, I think
maybe for you.
If you're going to buy the quality, I mean, I want quality. If you know you're doing it right and it tastes good, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah,
like, just like
that.
If I'm going to get a good steak. If I want a good steak, I'm going to pay for a good steak.
I
want a good meal,
right.
I'm going to pay for a good meal. Like, if I want quality over everything. Like, I want it to be delicious. I don't want mediocre. I'm so over mediocre stuff. Like, my goal in life for the rest of my life is to eat nothing. Every time I eat something that's mediocre, I'm mad. I just leave. You want to see me mad? Feed me a bad meal. You're going to see Mad Dan just pouting, pissed off, just yelling that shit. So if I'm going to drink a good beer, if I'm going to pay for it, it better be a good beer. But if it's not a good beer, I'm going to be pissed. I paid a lot of money for a terrible beer. I'm going to be pissed.
Look, you see, a terrible beer, bad meal, or when he can't find his headphones. That's when he gets pissed off.
Oh,
that's the three things.
God damn it.
All of the above.
And keys. Don't lose my keys.
That's right. Hey, Dan, tell them where I can find more information about Lucky Hair real quick for me, man.
So Lucky Hair Brewing. It's hair, like the rabbit, at Lucky Hair Brewing on Instagram, and or luckyhairbrewing.com.
Dan, I just want to jump in there too. I can't like talk about being mad. Like, I love good food and will absolutely pay to have a great experience. But
I am
expensive. I will also drink PBR, and I will also, like this morning, eat jalapeno poppers from Fridays that were frozen for breakfast.
My heart broke a little bit. I give you credit for having it for breakfast, but my heart broke a little bit.
You know, when you get up after, you know, I'm 36, I still feel sometimes like I can, like it's college and you want to stay up and pound beers and, it seemed to be a good idea to have jalapeno poppers for breakfast.
Did Jeff make those for you too?
Yeah, did Jeff make those?
I don't know. He was in the kitchen.
Burning shit, right? You want to burn in your jalapeno poppers?
Yeah. Now, he was in the kitchen, so I don't know. There's chicken fingers. You know, there's a lot of kids running around the house, too. So But I pushed them out of the way for the jalapeno poppers.
Can we just talk about really quick? So, if you guys don't know, those of you don't know, Chef Jeff, Forking Chef, aka Chef Jeff Perazzi, that's Ian's soon to be brother-in-law.
That's correct.
Can we just talk for a minute about how, after doing this event with Jeff this past weekend, I don't know if you noticed how much stuff this man travels with. Did you notice that?
There is a mound of shit at the front door. So we were staying at his brother Frank's house last night, and there's just a mound of stuff. He's got everything.
Know. He walked into the hotel. We were staying at this beautiful Marriott in Mystic, Connecticut, which is a tourist town. Yeah. Jeff rolls up there with his knitted hat. He looks like a homeless person, Ian. Like, I'm like, if he would stand here, they would give us money. Like, I'm like, you're here for a night, and he's literally got 74 bags on him. He's carrying a briefcase. I don't know what the fuck was in the briefcase.
He is kind of a prima donna.
Nobody knows.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird.
Nobody knows. Yeah, he's a fancy man. You know, and I've learned that over the year and a half that I've now known him. So, because his sister and I that I'll be marrying, we've known each other for a little over 2 years now.
I'll tell you right now, you won't meet a sweeter guy on the planet. Jeff is he has the biggest heart out of almost anybody I know. He's the sweetest guy. He is the nicest human being. He's one of my closest buddies now. He is a really, really good dude. And Dan, I think after the weekend you can vouch for that.
Oh yeah. No, I was telling him we were walking through the casino, I was like, yo, you're a cool motherfucker. Like, I can hang with you. Like, I don't like a lot of people, but you're a cool ass dude.
Fucking damn.
He was like, thanks, man. I was like, yo, this dude is great.
Yeah, I also heard he lost all of his money at the casino, too. So
I tried to help him. I told him to stop. He wouldn't listen. Him and Michelle, they wouldn't listen. I was like, stop it. Yeah, but Michelle ended up winning anyway. But
But look here. Jeff's one of those guys who looks at you and goes, no, no, no. I'm good at roulette. I know how to play roulette. I'm like, all right. He takes all of his money and puts it on six. What the fuck are you doing? You can't put everything on six.
He said he was trying to keep up with the high rollers that showed up, you know. Then he was throwing it all down.
He threw
$200.
He threw all that shit on one number. He's
I told
like,
him to play that black domino game, but he wouldn't listen.
See, that doesn't make any sense. That's Baccarat. I don't understand how to play that shit. Ian, listen, man, I gotta ask you. Jeff has told me so here on this program. Good brother is what we call everybody. It's kind of the saying that's gone around, and we've been talking about trying to find someone to help us out making a good brother beer for a while now, and Jeff said that you would do it maybe for the next live event, the next event we do as a whole, to have the good brother beer, have you come out, hang out with us, talk, be on the show, all of those things.
Totally. I'd love to.
We got to talk.
You
about
just have to tell me what you guys are into, like, you know, what you want to make or whatever it is. And yeah, man, I love doing that kind of stuff.
Hey,
I would love to.
It's a super easy. It's got to be drinkable, crushable. I like a light beer, something that we can drink 76 of them and be fine.
76. And I'm a 76ers fan, so I can.
There you go.
I can be down with that, man. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll talk. And
I'm a Cascade Hops fan. Is that weird?
Sure. Is that weird that you're a Cascade Hops fan?
Yeah, it's like a clean, like bright, refreshing type hop. I like that.
Yeah. No. There's plenty of Cascade that's grown in New York State. There's actually too much. So the hop growers here would be excited to know that there's a beer that's going to be all Cascade Hops from New York State. So we could definitely make that work.
Dan, does that sound awesome? The Good Brother beer.
Yeah, you guys need a beer for your show.
And then you could barrel age it and be barrel aged. Good brother.
Barrel aged, good brother. That's not. Can we barrel age it in like bourbon barrels or something? I'll buy them.
It definitely would not be light though.
Yeah, that's
you'd be looking
that's
at like
that's how you make it next level. That's, you know, you got light beer and then you got the barrel aged beer. You'd have you can do both.
Could you do the whole thing with corn so it's gluten free or no?
No, it's you need there's specific enzymes and proteins that come from barley that the yeast need to not only eat but also to reproduce and to be healthy. So not all corn. You'd have to use like sorghum or there's some other stuff out there, but you know, we use spelt.
Can you use quinoa?
I bet you somebody's made a beer with quinoa. It'd be a very expensive beer if I needed like, you know, 200-300 pounds of quinoa.
Dan can get it donated. He knows a dude.
You got a quinoa source. You got a Peruvian quinoa source.
Yeah, he's got to do it.
That'd be great. Yeah, oh. But it has to be mixed quinoa, though. You need the black, the red, the white.
Ian, it's 2019. Yeah. We just call it quinoa. We don't need to be specific. We need to specify.
It's just quinoa. I didn't know.
He needs to know for the flavor profiles.
Hashtag yeah. quinoa for
they
all.
They actually do taste differently.
That's right. You need the more nutty one versus, make that happen.
Well, dude, I love the beer. I love the product, man. Talk about really quick before we get you on down the road out of here. Actually, before I get you on down the road, I got two questions for you. Dan, sure. you were blessed this past weekend, Dan. You got a lot more beer to take home than I did. I don't know how the fuck that happened. But
because he left the bottles in my room, but go ahead.
Oh, did that what it was?
Yeah.
Talk about some of the favorites that you had this past week from the ones you were tasting.
So I had the fruit salad. I actually had... I don't know what the fourth beer was. I tried five different beers. I tried the one to put the potato. What was it? Brotato.
Brotato, good beer.
Which was great.
Brotato 11, yeah.
I had two different kinds.
Uh-oh.
I had two
Uh-oh.
Different kinds of fruit salad.
I think we're losing Dan there. Dan, you need to...
I had the raspberry and black. That's the one I brought home with me, but I had one.
I think we're losing you there for a second, Dan.
Two different kinds of fruit salad? Sorry.
Yeah, better? So the fruit salads that you had, I believe you had the tart cherry one, which we hand-picked all those from the local cherry farm just down the road. And then the you said the raspberry one, too?
Raspberry, yeah.
Yeah, so that's also old. Those are also from the cellar, and that one, all the fruit that we use too is from in the Finger Lakes. So that's what is important to us that we use as local as possible. But and you had that Doppelbach too, right?
I was saving that one for last. So the Doppelbach, and it was aged in a rye barrel.
Yep.
Correct? Yeah.
Yep.
That shit was fucking good, man. Yo, listen. I had that with my lamb. I had a lamb roast last night. It was so good. That's how I like my beers. I like aged beers. I like to have that deep, rich flavor. And I was mad that it was a smaller bottle and I had to share it with my wife.
But, oh, no.
Yo, it was good. I had to share it. She loves beer, too. She's a beer head. She likes beer probably more than I do. She And we shared it, and it was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah Dan's got a good one. That's for sure.
Well, that beer we won gold with at the New York State competition, and then we took that beer and then aged it in the rye whiskey barrels from our local distillery. So,
wait, time out, Dan. Are you peeing?
That's not me.
That's the sink.
I wasn't even going to say nothing. I'm like, what's happening right now?
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
He's dumping his other beer out.
Oh, I got to get rid of that solid gold from Founders.
That's great. All right.
Yeah, you know.
So the Doppelbach is delicious.
Doppelbach, yes. Get back to the Doppelbach.
So good. Yes. Everybody had it. Your wife loved it. It was great.
What else did you have, Dan?
And then I don't know what the fourth one was.
Great.
I don't remember. We had it while we were there. It was really good. It was after the fruit salad. He came out and he poured it, and I can't even remember what it was. I've been trying to remember since you said
he was
going to be
out. Was it
the
milk stout?
Oh, the milk stout. Yes, yes. Thank you. The milk stout, yes.
Yeah, milk stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of our flagships.
I didn't get
any
of those.
What's the difference between a milk stout and a regular stout?
Milk stout has lactose sugar in it. So the lactose is it's 100% unfermentable, so whatever you add will stay in the beer in the end.
Okay.
So it adds a sweetness to it. So you get a little bit of sweetness. They also use it in a lot of the IPAs now, or the fruited sours. They'll be also with milk sugar, so you get like this sweet, desserty fruit beer. So, it's used in a lot of beers and brewing.
That's
awesome. I always find them a lot smoother than like stouts.
Yeah.
So the sweetness kind of brings them down a little bit. Okay.
Well, you can You could definitely taste the quality in the beverage in the beer when you drink it, man. You guys definitely put a lot of love into it, which is incredible. I know all I've had so far is the Belgian Golden Ale, the bottle conditioned one. What a great beer that was!
Thanks, man.
I look forward to making my way up there. I think that might happen in the future after talking to old Jeffy and.
Oh yeah, Jeffy's got some ideas for sure.
He's the idea, man.
About He is an idea man, yeah. And he's you know, whenever you guys do come up, for sure, we will drink a lot of Lucky Hair beer.
I think Dan might have to come. Dan, you in?
Yeah, yo, I'm down. I mean, I was in that area maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Me and my wife went and we hung out, and I honestly didn't know where to go because I'd never really been there before. But now I kind of have a destination I want to go to. So yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah, and we're great tour guides too. So you know, we know. Well, there's plenty of wineries up here, and you know, it sounds like, you know, you're into wine. So
that's Plum. Plum's definitely a wine guy.
Yeah, Plum's a wine guy. So
I like all of it. Definitely, I like alcohol.
Yes. Well, then the Finger Lakes got you covered. That's for sure.
That's what's up. Hey, make sure you check them out. Of course, Lucky Hair Brewing. Check them out, luckyhairbrewing.com, and of course at Lucky Hair Brewing on Instagram. Dan, any final thoughts to talk to Ian about when it comes to beer?
No, your beer's quality. Just keep doing what you're doing because it's fantastic.
Thanks,
beer.
Man. I greatly appreciate that, and hopefully one of these days I'll be able to try what you guys are doing too, man. Jeff said nothing but great things, so I can only imagine that what you guys are doing is fantastic.
Hey, 2019 is going to be an amazing year, man, and hopefully we have you be a part of it, man. We appreciate you taking the time tonight to come on, Ian. You're a great guy to talk to, man. I love talking beer with you. Love to have you back on again sometime.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
You're the man, brother. Hey, thanks again, man. Make sure you check out Lucky Hair Brewing Company. And Ian, we'll check you out on down the road, all right?
Sounds good, man. You guys all have a great night.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye. Peace.
Dan, that's my new favorite dude right there. He's awesome.
That dude, yeah, man, that was good. He was very knowledgeable of the brewing process.
Yo, and what an easy guy to talk to.
Yeah, he made it make sense. It wasn't like a lot of jargon where you can't understand like exactly what they're talking about. Like sometimes I go to vineyards and they're saying some shit and you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But he made it pretty clear and easy to tell you what was going on.
Well, I think what was great about Ian was you didn't feel weird asking certain questions. Like, I like how you said, what's the difference in a milk stout and a regular stout? Like, you know, some people you talk to about beer, they make you feel dumb when you ask a question like that. But no, he was like, oh, let me answer it for you. It was awesome.
Yeah. There could be some uppity brewers.
Right. No doubt about it, man. Lucky Hair Brewing. That's good stuff, man. And listen, you know, we talked about on the show, there's a lot of beers out there now, a lot of craft beers out there now, but it's not very often that you see a guy coming in who is so positive about it, who is so apt to, you know, want to talk about it and tell you the stuff, but in a layman's terms and make you feel okay to ask those questions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. It was really easy to talk to. It was really good.
Damn. Hey, look here, man. I got to tell you something right now. You might be giving everybody a run for the money here on the co-host, bro. Nice job.
I'm just doing what I do, man. We talk about food or beer, I'm going to get excited. That's just how I am.
Yeah, but you're so chill. You're so easy with it. I'm pretty sure, by the way, he was peeing. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, and I called him.
I was like, wait, do I mention what's happening right now? I'm like, and then you said, Dan, I'm like, no, that's not me, man. That's somebody else. That's the other guy.
I was like, somebody's definitely right taking now? A piss, man. I don't know. I mean, I kept the man talking for a long time. I get it, but maybe I should give him a little breather.
Gotta go,
right? To give him a little breather or something. If he just give me the Iggy and tell me, I'd have talked for 30 seconds straight, let him pee.
You could have like really loud, so you don't hear the trickling in the background.
He could mute his microphone.
Well, yeah. Oh man.
Yo.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome, man. Hey, I want to thank you again for your help on the Navy event, man. Look forward to the future and seeing what we got coming. Big shout out to, of course, Lucky Hair Brewing Company for giving us beer for the event. It's a delicious product, man. They do a great job. And Dan, thank you again for sitting in tonight, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, it's a pleasure. You know, it's been fun. You know, talking to everybody, still chatting with everybody about the Christmas trees and stuff. Like, it's been really, like, it's been nice to have people that like really love food to kind of converse with and understand that you're on the same level with that can help, you know, your passion go further.
Yo, I'm gonna send you Chief's number. I don't know if you have it or not. If you
have texted Chief's
with,
number. Yeah,
you've been texting with
number.
Him. That dude's nuts.
Yeah, no, he's out of his mind. I know. I've texted him. I was talking to him on the phone one day, and they were on their way to get some metal for something they did, and he's on the phone. He's like, "Yeah, we're like 15 minutes late." I'm like, "Well, you better go."
Hey.
Just going on. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever, man.
Look. I'll end it with this, man. We were at the we went to the casino the night after the event. We're hanging out, and we're trying to meet back up with Dan and Jeff because they had to go drop the bags off in the room or something, and. Chief and myself are walking around, and he wants to play a slot machine, so we start playing a slot machine. And, of course, we have Tony with us from Backdraft Barbecue, which that dude's awesome, too. And the Chief's wife is with us. So we're hanging out, and he's dropping some money into the slot machine he's playing. Next thing you know, this dude starts getting people from around the casino to hit the spin button for him. He's like, "This is broken. Can you hit the button for me?" And then he would win like $2.80. And I swear to God, Chef, we would scream like we just won the Showcase Showdown on the Price is Right. It was awesome.
Won both prizes, hey, won both sets of prizes.
Right, you know, win both of them. But look, you've been at the casino with me before. I love yelling at a casino. There ain't nothing better than yelling at a casino. That shit's awesome.
Everybody's looking like, "What's going on? I won $1.72.
$1.72, all the nickels. I don't even know how that works."
Yo, that dude is crazy. No, it was a lot of, everybody was so much fun. Everybody was so cool. Everybody was just like there and present and doing their thing. It was really, 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 really a good time.
Awesome, man. You did a great job. And hey, Lucky Hair Brewing Company, they were present too, helping us out there at that event. So yeah. What a great conversation with them here tonight, man. Make sure you check them out on Instagram.
Lucky Hair Brewing.
That's right. Great beer. Fantastic. He's texting me right now. Let's go ahead and put a bow on this, man, and get it out of here. What do you think?
All right, man. Yeah, no, I'm going to go finish my beer, and I'm going to go take me a long five-hour nap.
There you go. you got to be at work in the morning, man. Here, so don't just hang tight, man. I'm going to do the outro, and we'll finish up on Skype together off air. So stay right there for me.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Big shout out to my man, Chef Dan Monroe from The Pantry in Fairfield. And, of course, Lucky Hair Brewing Company. We'll see you guys next Monday. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you guys next week. 2019 is going to be our year. Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure, at least in his mind, Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.